Carl Polanyi, and I appreciate that a lot of people may not know about him, but he was a well, originally from a Hungarian Jewish family, lived for a while in Vienna and was driven out by the Nazis, and actually ended up in Bennington, Vermont, of all places, where he wrote this extraordinary book as a refugee from fascism. The book is called The Great Transformation, and it's about the whole history of one long capitalist crisis from, the early to mid 19th century all the way through the First World War, the rise of fascism, the Second World War. And he writes the book in the middle of the Second World War, just as it looks like there's going to be an Allied victory, and it's time to imagine what the new society will be like. So his idea is that it was the insane project of trying to turn society into one big market in which everything would be traded as a commodity, bought and sold on a market. That's what the sort of proponents of free market capitalism wanted in the 19th century. And I should say that there are still plenty of folks around today who want that, who thinks that that's the good society.
Hey, Smut!
Yeah?
Where should I put these large squirt fish and the elephants filled with bendable dogs?
Oh, just stack them next to the guardian angel pants,
Oh,
Mutt.
Where's that?
Oh, under the gangster hatch and inflatable saxophones.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Oh, afternoon.
Howdy, Mutt.
Hi, Smut.
Hi, fellas.
Yeah.
Now, me and Elmer here, we're going on a camping trip.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but we'll need to kill some things while we're out there.
Are we talking fish or fowl?
And terrorists.
Whoever comes along.
Well, yeah, we're going for a balanced diet.
Well, see. Take a gander here at these Texas Rag Robo Duck and Goose floats with optional decoy hearts and quiver magnets.
Yeah, they add ripples to your spread now, you know.
You know, I was actually hoping for them terrorists. You'd still have some of those smart sticks. Goose News Magnums, crap duster decoys.
With a solid brass snap, swivels, and the galvanized gang rings gets them every time.
Yeah, I know. Sold out last week.
Boys, this might work. We got final approach decoys designed to match the floating coffin laydown blinds that we sold you last season.
Yeah.
Well, I blew a hole in the floating coffin.
It's at the bottom of Dead Man's Pond.
Well, then you can settle into this spacious bulletproof shell of this man-sized goose chair here.
Wow, there you go.
Both a decoy and a blind.
Just like the government.
And it comes with an optional snow skirt.
Just like the government.
We'll take two.
Okay, and with two, you get this automatic big guy Widowmaker deluxe duck plucker with rubber fingers. Look at this.
Well, thanks a lot, Mutt and Smut.
Just put it in on our bill. Quack, quack, and get it out.
Yeah, lock the load, boy.
Don't
lock
forget to aim.
Oh, my. Don't you just love the summer, Mike?
Yeah, hunting for a bargain.
Well, Carl Polanyi, the second Carl, showed in a very smart way how that was an impossible idea because the market has background conditions. It depends on there being things that are not marketized, that are not commodities. You can't have a market if you, if you're having markets in human beings, in nature, even in money. So he had a whole theory of how this free market capitalism was inherently prone to crisis. Karl Marx, the other Karl, had a theory about how a capitalist economy was prone to crisis, but it's a somewhat different theory. I would say Karl Polanyi was more interested in what I've been talking about, in the relation between the market economy and its background conditions, whereas the first Karl Marx is more interested in the contradictions internal to the economy.
Right.
And therefore, the form of crisis that Karl Marx was most focused on was economic crisis, depressions, bankruptcies, market crashes, mass unemployment, which he thought, would lead to working class revolutionary organization. Karl Polanyi was more concerned about the social dislocation that this marketizing push, you know, the way it dispossessed people from their land, from their homes, from their communities, the ways in which it tore up families and communities and so on. And nature. I mean, he lived, you know, like I say, he was writing this book in the 40s, long before there was anything like an environmental movement or an ecology movement. But he already had the idea that what he called land, and that really means nature more broadly, could not be turned into a commodity, that there would be horrendous contradictions would result, and which we now see happening before our very eyes. So he's quite an interesting guy, and I think that both of the two Carls have a tremendous amount to teach us. Nobody is better than Karl Marx at understanding the economic dimension of the capitalist system and its contradictions. But the other Karl showed us the contradictions between the economy and its background conditions. And I just learned so much from both of them that I, at one point, actually even wrote a paper called Two Karls Are Better Than One, arguing that we need to try to integrate them somehow. It's not easy, but, you know.
Sirtz is a candy mint. Sirtz is a breath mint.
Stop. You're both right. New Sirtz is two mints in one. Stops bad breath in seconds. Tastiest mint of all. Yes, only new Sirtz gives you two mints in one. Look, Sirtz is a revolutionary new kind of mint. Sirtz captures all the fresh, clean flavor of a mountain stream, all the frosty coolness of falling snow. What's more, Sirtz contains a golden drop of Retsin, the miracle breath purifier that makes your breath clean and fresh. Yes, Sirtz is the one mint that gives you both. Stops bad breath in seconds, tastiest mint of all. So get new Sirtz. Remember, only smoother, tastier Sirtz gives you two mints in one. Handy pocket roll comes in assorted delicious flavors. C-E-R-T-S. Sirtz.
New Shimmer is a floor wax.
No, New Shimmer is a dessert topping.
It's a floor wax.
It's a dessert topping.
It's a floor wax, I'm telling
you. It's a dessert topping, you cow!
Hey, calm down, you two. New Shimmer's a floor wax and a dessert topping. Here, I'll spray some on your mop and some on your butterscotch pudding.
Mmm, tastes terrific.
And just look at that shine. But will it last?
Hey, outlasts every other leading floor wax 2-1. It's durable and it's scuff resistant.
And it's delicious.
Sure is. Perks up anything from an ice cream sundae to a pumpkin pie.
Made from an exclusive non-yellowing formula.
I haven't even touched my pudding and I'm ready for more.
But what about black heel marks?
Dirt, grime, even black heel marks. Wipe clean with a damp cloth.
Oh, sorry, honey. I'll clean that up.
Oh, no problem, sweetheart. Not with New Shimmer.
New Shimmer, for the greatest shine you ever tasted.
No. Bradshaw and Pederazzi have pulled a double-double cross on you.
No, no!
It's a triple cross.
You didn't catch that one.
Did you, Nick?
Bradshaw!
Father!
Wait a minute. Nancy, just a minute.
No time for a quickie, Nicky.
That's right, sweet hips.
Oh, Al, we're going all the way. You're going to be DA and we're going to run L.A.
That's right. I'm going to be D.A. And everybody else on this canoe is going to be D.O.A.
There's a crowd behind me.
I just don't get it. It's like a Hindu nightmare. Three voices in one body. What's going on here? I finally got to admit it. I need a script.
Here, Nicky Nick, take mine. I've memorized the ending.
Thanks, Bradshaw.
I knew I never should have entered into a partnership with a multiple schizophrenic. No wonder he ate so much when we took lunch.
Yeah. Here it is. Look, he's all three. Van Pederazzi, Nancy, and Bradshaw. It's right here on page 35.
Let me see.
Think of the residual.
Ozzy, as you know, is the multiple identity poster girl. For 1972.
Thank you, boys.
Rosie is the multiple identity poster child for the 1967
Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Rosie is the multiple identity poster girl for this region.
Please give everything you've got. to me or my family, just send it care of this address.
15515555. You've called 15555.
15155.
Thank you, boys. 15. Just send
this
everything
is
you've
little
got.
Rosie Rottencrotch.
Care of me.
The
for my
multiple
family.
Identity poster girl.
The multiple
for
identity poster girl.
This week.
For this week.
Buried in the dunes are the remnants of the ancient civilizations of Mesopotamia and their secrets. The dawn of our economic history.
If you're looking at the origins of all of the techniques of enterprise, where was the first interest charge, the first trade contracts, the first money, prices, the first accounting, all of these were developed in a particular part of the world, Sumer in Babylonia, in what is today southern Iraq, and they were all developed by the temples and the palace.
Thou who walkst in the sky with splendor and terror, king of battle.
Let it go!
The raging fire god. God Nurgle. Nurgi.
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 The Nurgi? God Nurgi.
Your
right.
Dog Nurgi?
Nurgi, the dreaded Nurgi, fire dog of the Venusians.
Hey, Nurgs, did you hear that? I'll read it some more. Okay, Nurgi, sit up now. Nurgi, the fire star,
hey,
comes like a raging storm. He is also called Shirapu, the
Shirapu?
Burner. And light that flames from heaven. And Lord of Destruction.
And Farnad the Flatulent, too.
Yes.
That's Nergi also. Nergi was the god during, like, pre-Babylonian times, when the Babylonians were just beginning to, as we say in Natural History Now here at the Groucho Marx University, getting it together. During the Assyrian getting kind of the Assyrian groovy period, the great god Nergi was known to fly over the people and... Oh, good. I'm glad you got that fish. the great god Nergi was known to fly over large areas of the Sumerian desert and flatulate. Flatulate is an astronomical expression meaning growing flat like a cod across the solar eclipse.
Like a, clip like a, right. like a yeah, piece of cod.
Like a piece of cod. Like a cod.
Like a piece of cod.
Like the old, there was the old Babylonian, you know, beginning myth that the whole earth was not a bowl turned upside down, but a cod piece raised by its experience. And that holes in it, because of the bleach used on the material, would let through the light from the living room, and the Babylonians then thought of this as God, basically.
Adventures in Cosmology.
Athens, 2012. 5,000 years later, and the most potent symbol of our current economic crisis. A city and a country in a state of shock, forced into austerity programs in exchange for loans.
As demonstrators took the streets in Greece to protest the government's austerity plan, traders, these are financial traders, not traitors, although one can be the other, worried that the Greek debt crisis would spread, and it sent financial indexes lower for a second day. The demonstrations against austerity measures took a deadly turn last Wednesday in Greece when three people died in an Athens bank that was set on fire. Policymakers in Germany, meanwhile, pushed Parliament for quick passage of the Greek bailout, warning that failure to do so could set off a chain reaction of debt crisis around the continent. This meant markets were perhaps poised to slow down, but not reverse their downtrend. Well, that's, of course, the light at the end of the tunnel thinking. The fact is that we're all tied together.
After two or three years of this austerity program, that is of the shock politics, we are facing an economic disaster.
What causes civilizations to disappear and their economies to collapse? What connects modern Greece to ancient Sumer? There was one economic historian who proposed that the answers may be buried with the ruins of ancient civilizations. Economist Kari Polanyi is back in Vienna, tracing the footsteps of her father.
Hello.
Karl Polanyi was born in Vienna in 1886 and grew up in Budapest. He contracted typhus in the First World War and came to Vienna in 1919 as a refugee after the short-lived Hungarian Republic, which he had supported, was crushed.
Ja, bitte schön. My father was a journalist, and he worked for a weekly economics journal called the Österreichische Volkswirt. And of course, so there was a deadline, and the copy, he had to finish his copy, his columns, by Thursday night. And he used to smoke. And this room was, you could not see from one side of the room to the other. It was just filled with smoke.
Why, that little gadget will blacken peasants' houses throughout the globe.
And where there's smoke, there's work. Yes, 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 gentlemen.
Vienna, once the capital of an empire, was in the 1920s a politically divided city in a country struggling with economic chaos.
My father was living in a Vienna where there was massive unemployment, where there was a very strong socialist party. And they say the Socialist Party of Austria was elected in Vienna from 1918 in every single election until the Civil War.
Karl Polanyi was immersed in Vienna's politics and its socialist movement.
We're going to the Karl Marx Hof. It was the most avant-garde social housing in all of Europe. Vienna in the 1920s, socialist Vienna, managed to turn the class relationship around. That, of course, is what upset Hayek and company, because the financing for the social housing was by taxing the private housing, the private residential housing.
Well, we're back. And you're back inside the Money Bubble with me, your host, B. Buck Bunny Mumble. And by satellite, well, we're going to go to our daily interview feature and open up the lifestyle portfolio of people who double as bubble insiders.
Hello there.
And Bill Sprawl, CEO of Worldwide Syncholistic Systems, graduate of Yale Locke with an MBA from Oxford Shoe. Bill made his starter fortune by relocating low-interest families from their high-rising properties to online irrigation glitches along the old information highway. And very entrepreneurial of you, Bill. Bill? Can you hear me, Bill?
Not over the music there.
Oh, well, somebody fade the music out. Thank
you. That's better. Welcome to my Sprawl Smart House.
That is some edifice I see there, Bill.
Yes, that's what my starter wife said.
You know, your digital domain in Billville must make you the envy of all your neighbors.
Well, funny about that, Buck.
What's funny about it?
Well, you just double-click this, and there goes the neighborhood.
It's the land of the pharaohs.
Oh, that's close, but it's Vegas.
Is the pyramid opening?
Not till Thursday.
Good.
Click, click. We're back in Billville.
Well, that's just amazing.
Well, what is amazing is that in a Sprawl smart house, your level of conspicuous consumption is directly connected to your bank balance.
I know everybody cares about that.
The house knows it and shows it. Look, I must be making a killing because my artwork is improving as we speak.
Oh, look at that.
My new descending a staircase is upgrading into
It's a Picasso. No, it's a Kandinsky. Is that a Hockney?
No, it's a crying Elvis on black velvet.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. My Louis XIV is going Motel 6, 5, 4, 3.
What's happening out there, Bill?
I'm losing my assets.
Well, look, if you're not rich anymore, then you don't belong on this program. You got any famous last words for our listeners?
Lick my zipper. I'm out of here.
In 1934, this experiment was brutally put to an end.
Civil war flares up suddenly in Austria. The government, deciding to suppress the socialists, countered a general strike by martial law. The strongholds in which the Schutzbund, or Socialist Defense League, hold out are huge blocks of flats built for the Viennese workers by the Socialist Council of the city. The strength of the buildings enables them to prolong resistance for several days, and artillery has to be brought into action against them.
It made a profound impression on me, and I think it was the formative event, I think, of my life, because I have known which side I'm on ever since.
Karl Polanyi left Vienna a year earlier, after being dismissed from his job because of his political beliefs. After the crushing of the Austrian Socialist Party, his then 10-year-old daughter, Kari, followed him to England. In 1944, Germany and most of Europe are in ruins. Intellectuals like Karl Polanyi had been trying to understand the causes of the collapse of European civilization and to lay a path out of the rubble. For Karl Polanyi, it was a chain of events that began in the 19th century with the faith in the self-regulated free market.
Our thesis is that the old idea of a self-adjusting market implied a stark utopia. Such an institution could not exist for any length of time without annihilating the human and natural substance of society. It would have physically destroyed man and transformed his surroundings into a wilderness. Karl Polanyi, The Great Transformation.
Well, jumping JJB's porgy, it looks like a wasteland. There's nothing left but the flagpole.
I don't know what to say, Mudhead.
Hi, Mudhead.
Oh, hi, Bottles.
I know who did this. It was those bullies at Communist Martyrs High School. That's who.
Oh, come on, Bottles. We don't know who did it.
Oh,
yes.
Right. I have a very good idea.
Hey, Porgy. Porgy, you're a white man. You've got to help us.
Yeah, Porgy.
What?
Yeah, right.
What do you think? Yeah, what do you think we ought to? What
speak
do you think
English,
we should
Alvarado.
Do?
Yeah. What do you think, Porgy?
Well,
yeah.
Gee, I don't think we should jump to any conclusions
hey,
or
hey,
take
a. Hey, Porgy!
Hey, Porgy!
Think
about poops on your radio. Turn the car radio. Poops on. Okay. Well, gather around, kids. Yeah. Stay on camera. We'll all listen together.
All of us want to know, just as much as I want to know. Who's responsible?
Communist Martyrs High School,
and
that's
who. Until we do, I must make my dirty duty clear and announce the suspendering of the upcoming graduating exercises.
Oh, no.
Which aren't taking place.
I'm never going to get out of here.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Your food, housing, insecurity will be guaranteed by your Department of Redundancy Department. And the Natural Guard.
Hey, they're gonna surround us.
And remember, trust reppers will be persecuted. So please stay where you are. Don't move. And don't panic. Don't take off your shoes. Jobs is on the way.
Golly.
Thank you.
Polanyi's book was translated into dozens of languages, and his ideas found an audience among the new breed of students in North America. They saw their calling in rethinking capitalism after the Second World War. The course that Karl Polanyi taught at Columbia University was based on his own inquiry into the market economy as an ideological system, a view of society organized along the logic of the market.
Get a glimpse into the future of this unfinished world of ours, there has been created for the New York World's Fair a thought-provoking exhibit of the developments ahead of us. The greater and better world...
The future of capitalism, as depicted in a General Motors-sponsored exhibit in the 1939 World's Fair, a corporate vision of freedom and human needs fulfilled by the free market.
We are flying toward a big American city in the year 2000 AD. The wings of our Zeppelin tilt, and below we see green squares and circles and triangles that look like parks.
Look at those narcs.
Golden threads of roads tie the patches of green together. In the distance, pink and white and yellow skyscrapers sparkle. The air looks as if someone had washed it.
Where's the soap?
Where is the smoke?
We ask our guide, Mr. Fuller, and Mr. Fuller laughs.
There isn't any smoke to speak of. Cities got rid of smoke years ago. Few people burn coal for heat anymore. Coal is used for other purposes.
Our Zeppelin lands smoothly on an enormous landing field.
We'll drive downtown. We could take a helicopter, but you'll see more by road. Now, this road over here, this pink one, that's an expressway. When we started to make our cities more comfortable to live in, we built expressways all through it. On the expressways, you can go quickly from the edge of the city to the center, or from one side to the other. And since one expressway never runs directly into another one, we have few traffic accidents.
Gee, what a lot of narcs!
Well, we do have a lot of parks, but those aren't parks. Those are neighborhoods. Look, you can see the houses.
Hey, what is a neighborhood?
It's a group of about 2,000 poor people. These people have their own grade school, churches, all-night drug abusement center, and playfields. Several neighborhoods go together as a clang or community. The community has a high school, a community center, a hospital, and a health bund.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
Listen, where's the free clinic?
Well, you may ask, but we took that away with the old gridiron streets. You see, those lead to dead end and weird children. Now the children can ride themselves safely on neighborhood streets. Now, as we approach the business district, you'll notice those tall apartment buildings over there.
Look at that.
Now, 50 years ago, this was one of the worst slums in the United States. 7,000 people that were falling down were crowded into old houses. Now, 24,000 people live there comfortably. The extra space comes from turning the old streets upside down into parks and laying the tall apartment buildings on their sides.
Look out for that robot! Oh! Where are the whorehouses?
Well, many of the warehouses live here along the river. City factories aren't allowed to be smoky and noisy, so the whorehouses are out in the country.
As we drive slowly through the streets of the Garden City, we wish we could stay in the year 2000 AD, but Mr. Fuller says we must come back.
Yeah, come back.
Now you've seen how cities can look and will look.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yes, America is a land of towns and cities. We should make it a land of beautiful towns and cities. These should be good places for people to play and to live and to work.
Why is he changing
work,
his voice?
Work, work.
Come, let's travel into the future. What will we see?
Firebird 2 to Control Tower. We are about to take off on the highway of tomorrow. Stand by.
It is the result of a market view of society, wrote Carl Polanyi, which equated economics with contractual relationships and contractual relationships with freedom.
The great transformation for me was an intellectual earthquake. The earth opened up. It was that kind of an amazing insight into the coming of the market economy in lockstep with the Industrial Revolution and introducing a new protagonist which had never been introduced before. Polanyi indicated in The Great Transformation that there was another player in the economy, and not simply market forces, but society itself. What he meant was that prior to modern times and the coming of the market economy, most economic transactions were under the supervision and under the rule of some social structure, whether it was the church, whether it was the town council, or whether in tribal societies it was the norms developed from kinship and custom. He meant, therefore, that in most of history, the economy was embedded in society.
Whew! Defoliating a victory garden certainly works up an appetite.
You sit down, Father, and dig right in.
That's right. This afternoon, I'll be able to start digging the pit. If I can get some work out of that boy of yours, I can have the bunker finished by election day. Where is Porgy, anyway?
He's up in his room, helping Porcelain make the bed.
Oh, Porgy! Oh, my!
Porgy! Porgy, tell you about
it! He's coming, Mother!
He's so good with the servants, Fred.
Stop calling me Fred. My name's Adolf.
Social norms had priority over economic activities.